the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we're talking about, and incidentally, today and tomorrow we'll touch on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and Thursday and Friday we will be touching on the mega church pastor, so that we cover those topics
when we look at words on an individual basis, any singular words that are found in the Bible words, and not just looking at the whole verse or the whole context, but just picking up little verses and making it a point. Like for us, like this, the word see not, know not, and you know. The word know becomes a major point. As Bible students and as good teachers of the Word of God, we must check out what the Greek word for this is. Because we cannot rely on the English translation. In the English translation, some of the similar words can be the same. Let me point to this side. But the word speak and tell, we never look carefully whether it's the same Greek word or different word, correct? It may be that it could be the same Greek word. And we may be teaching something that the Bible never said. But we were just listing it based on the English version, as we have seen it. If it so happened that there are two different Greek words, then we have some more revelation to explore, some more realm to explore in this Word of God. And that is why when we begin to make points out of singular words that we gather from verses, speaking out as individual points, always do it the safe way by looking at your concordance or your Greek lexicon text or whatever, interlinear, to examine it closer. Being Bible students, and that's what we ministers are trained for. This is where it divides those who are more accurate from those who are general. As I say, we have outlined this one generally, but we want to zoom in, we need to be more accurate. And accuracy will go a long, long way. A long, long way. It will make a difference for many people and for many lives. And just think, if you just go one step more accurate, how many more people you could help? It's just like today's surgery. And I was talking to a plastic surgeon, one doctor specializing in that. And she has also, and I asked questions about neurology, and I said, why is it that only in recent times have we been able to sew back hands that are cut off and nerves that have been severed that were not done maybe about 50 years ago? And so some of the points that I gathered from her were this. Number one, we have understood the human body structure better. We know what nerves go where and what each of these clusters of muscles go to which section. Secondly, she said a very interesting thing. The tools that we have are now finer. We now have tools and we now have the ability, microscopes that can look at tiny little microns, and therefore they could sew. Well, before the invention of microscope, it's not easy to sew something that small. And plus the instruments that have been invented. And so the more accurate we go, the more deeper we go, think about the many people that we could help. 50 years ago, if your hand got cut off, that's the end. Now, when a hand gets cut off, as long as it's quickly frozen and preserved, there's a chance that we can still sew it back. Where did we hear such things 50 years ago? 100 years ago? It was an amazing miracle. A natural miracle for people. The only difference was the tools. The accuracy. And when human beings could handle more finite things, there were more people that could have been helped. Imagine 50 years ago, there were people walking without legs, hands and all that were accidentally cut off. If they had been living in our time, they may still have those hands and legs. What a difference. Think about these things spiritually. And we could just teach generally. That is what I believe. When we handle God's word, when we handle the things of God, we have to handle it with respect and with fear and trembling. We're handling tools. We're handling things that are powerful. Principles that are powerful. We're hearing the word of God, of which one iota of this word can heal a sick person. Therefore, when you have an assignment to teach, to preach, to minister, whether to 10,000 people or just one person, whatever you do for the Lord, do it as if knowing that whatever you do can touch somebody else's life. can bring healing to somebody that you never know. Not all healings are always testified. Can change somebody's life somewhere. When you play a musical instrument or you sing a song, every little thing we do, if we are doing it for God, do it with all your heart. And knowing that the extra mile you put in, the extra little effort you put in because you love people, you love the world, and you love God, can make so much difference. Many more spiritual legs, spiritual hands, spiritual arms could have been joined together where it was never more possible. Now, having said that, has anybody brought their concordance? Nah. Bible, Greek lexicon, interlinear Bible. Anybody here brought their Greco? Nobody. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, when we look at all this word, did I hear somebody say that they have? When they do usually does, huh? Oh, there's one inside there. Okay, we just pull one out. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. And we're going to do this together to show you how we can explore and begin to look at the how. We'll look at one session at a time. We'll look at Revelation gifts and see how. And I'd like you to discover that those truths are yours. They don't belong to me. They don't belong to anyone. They are available for everyone. If you just take the right step to do the right thing, in the end, we'll go there. And while he's taking the concordance, let me continue the story of the plastic surgeon. And I said, it must have been tedious to look through a microscope and do those little things. Because if you all know what it's like and you try it, thank you, this is fantastic. If you know what it's like, every tiny little move is going to be a big move. It's not so easy. And I said, how is it? And he said, almost everyone want to give up the first time they do it. I mean, this is a doctor talking. And he said, the trainer or the master surgeon has to encourage them. So them, no, you do it after something, you get used to it. Remember my old saying again, incremental little steps go a long way. And those expert plastic surgeons, they've been doing so many times that they are now so accurate. The movement of their hands, tiny little things that they could handle. It's just a small little incremental step, the training that we take, that can bring it a long, long way. And now I know what the Greek word no is, but I just like some, you know, interaction. Praise God. You found it? You have explored it? Studied it before? You saw this word? Saw in the Greek? Where in the Greek? You read John chapter? Because there are many words for no. There are many Greek words for no. There is one called ginosko, there are a few others. Is this ginosko? Okay. There are many Greek words for no. There are at least 2 to 3 Greek words for see. There's one main Greek word teach, which is didasko. But once in a while, you may find a different one. Just one of the odd ones that translated wrongly. Remember what I said? You're handling important things. You're handling the word of God. Respect God's word. You're handling lives. What you teach people take to be truth. And you promise to speak nothing but the truth. And so, let's be accurate. And no harm taking time to just have a look. And so, just let me start with the easy one. Yeah. Let's look at the word no. And look for the Gospel of John, and you can find John, because it's John, right? John? Yeah, that's right, John. Uncle John, they call him, okay? And the word no, and anybody take a guess on what word it is? And we are going to look at concordance because I want to show you that there are several words for no and why there's a difference. And when you know that there are several different words for no, there must be a reason why they are different. Just like dunamis, exousia, kratos, iskus,
There must be a reason for the different words being used. Paul or the apostles didn't just write it using any old word that they can find. Will you find it yet? No, no, no. Yeah, K-N-O-W. Yes. And then the Gospel of John. Yeah, just find the word, the section of no. Have you found it? K-N, da, da, da. Yeah. K-N-O-W. Let's see. No. Have you found it? No. K-N-O-W. Okay, under the Greek New Testament, what are some of the words for no? Ginosko, you all know that one. Okay. Ginosko. Oh man. Ginosko. Of course, the noun for that is gnosis. Have you found that? That's you on the gnome. This is the Old Testament, New Testament. There, can you find it? Ginosko? You say ginosko. Mm-hmm. Okay? And we could use the interlinear. There is the word ginosko, which is a common word for know. And the one that is in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 16, 17. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him. That's in verse 17. So you got one of the word, ginosko. Now there's another word in the concordance that if you were to have a concordance to look at, the word for know, which is actually more mean the visual side of knowing, the seeing, is from the word oeda. Oeda. And that is the word see. But it more looks at the visual side than the intellectual part of knowing. Now, there are also other little words for know. There is another one called epignosko, which means to know upon or to know fully. There is other nouns for know that could mean other things, but the basic word ginosko is a very general word that speaks about knowing, although it's a revelation gift, but it includes your mind. It's not necessarily talking about spiritual knowing. So Jesus, in talking about the revelation gift, is saying here, using this word and this word are the same. The world doesn't know, but you know. At the same time, when he was talking about the revelation gifts of the Spirit and things that are revealed, and here and there, a little diagram, and here you are. Okay, looks like a creature from outer space. And here they are. Now it's different. Left hand drawing looks different. And okay, so this one doesn't have Jesus inside, and this has Jesus inside the heart. It says that they don't see and they don't know. So let's change the eye to the X kind of eye. Yeah. They don't see and they don't know at all. But something about this person, it never mentioned anything that they see. Right? Seeing is in another word. But it did mention that it was know, and the general word ginosko includes the knowing of the mind. Okay? Obviously the way it's used is the non-Christian has the soul mind, the SM, the soul mind. Obviously, it has to include our soul mind. There's a spiritual man's mind. And obviously, the revelation gifts of the Spirit
If they are just in our spirit and doesn't get translated into our mind, it's of no use to us. It's still no use to us. The knowing has to be translated from the heart into the understanding. Primarily, the word ginosko has been used more for the natural mind. And if you want to put it in the words, it still sounds accurate. The world does not see me naturally, neither does it know me naturally, because using the word ginosko to put naturally, no. You will know me naturally. Yeah. We will. Now, obviously, we know we cannot know him directly with the intellect based on other verses. On our other study. But there's something here that he talks about knowing, because it's going to relate to these two, which I'm focusing on this part here, knowing. And here is a point on the revelation gifts, where we're talking about how the revelation gifts operate. The struggle is not getting it here. Many people that think that the struggle is getting it here. The struggle is getting it here. No, ginosko. Ginosko. It is not just here. It is here. Now, there are radio waves now in the air. There are probably TV signals. Nowadays, they got the TV early in the morning. Do you and I detect it? No. The problem is not that it's not existing, correct? The problem is not that it's not existing. The problem is that we are not able to convert it into a medium we could hear or see. The problem is a problem of the conversion. The radio waves that are now floating in the air, which we all are in the 20th century, so when you talk like that, you all understand. If we were to talk like that 200 years ago, people would laugh at us because they don't see radio waves, they haven't invented radio yet. If Paul were living in our times, they used a lot of new illustrations that he never used in the book, in the episode. And we are in the age where we understand radio waves, TV waves. We understand the unseen, the natural unseen. It's right now there. It can be detected if you could form an electronic instrument which can vibrate according to their transmitted wave. And the vibration of the to make it in simple terms for those of you who are not so scientific inclined, there is a vibration electronically going on. That electronic vibration needs to be converted into a physical vibration. And when it physically vibrates, you can hear it. So the electronic vibration is converted into physical movement by whatever instrument that is, your radio. And it moves the speaker. If you touch the speakers are vibrating just like your voice box. Thus producing sound waves which we can hear. So electronic medium is changed into what I call sound medium. There is a conversion. The problem is not that it does not exist. The problem, if I were to ask you, what's going on right now? Can you hear it right now? What's going on radio, TV, FM, whatever? We can't. And if we can't, it's as good as it's not there, correct? It's as good as if it's not there. Now, I'm focusing on the how. You have to believe, to operate in revelation gifts, that it is there. If you don't believe it's there, you wouldn't waste your time trying to find it. Half of operating in the spirit is to believe it is there. Half of it is the believing part. Even when we operate with God in general, Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, that he who comes to God must believe that he exists. And then, you must believe that he will reward you who seeks him diligently. Half the problem that I find helping people to move in the gifts is to get them to believe that it exists inside them. Because we are so naturally inclined, we won't believe until we feel something. Whether your hands vibrate or not, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is here. Correct? But as we go along, I show you a way in which we can understand His manifestation. We understand, He manifests in many ways, not just one way. And I was talking to some of my staff, and one of them went down to Rodney Howard Brown, and he's one of those who, you know, I expected him to do it more around there, naturally. So when he came back, I said, how, you know? And he said, what's strange? So, you know, I know him. Sometimes I'm talking to him, he feels the presence of God, and he will start like that in front also. So I said, how, you know? In natural, you'll presume that since they've been doing that all the time, that if you go to Ronnie Howard Brown, I mean, he was the man on this kind of move, that he will be have a tenfold kind of thing like that lah. Naturally, he may vibrate so fast that he may be like the Flash. You can't see him. But he said something strange. He said, funny. Say, why? When I'm there throughout the whole meeting, I know the presence of you, but nothing. Nothing. Nothing happened. No shakes, no jerks, nothing. But the rest of the people are, of course. I know Pastor Elijah was so drunk that he went in a taxi, he didn't know where to go. He's coming out in October, so, you know, just smile, know that what happened to him. And, so, what, how, so then, and he says, why? I said, well, I'm sure you received something, which he was positive, and I know he received. I mean, you would receive something. He's a good man of God. But what a difference. Presence of God is different. Let's say, just before the break, there was a strong presence that came in. I don't know whether somebody detected it, but it was there. From beginning of class at 9:30, right up to that time, about 10:30. At about 10:30, there was an extra presence of God that came in. Right. Some of you may detect, some of you don't detect it. But these are things that when you walk in the Spirit, when you're yielded to the Spirit, you know. You don't need anybody to tell you. You could sense it. You could pick it up. There are different levels of the presence of God. The Holy Spirit is right now here. If you want to sense Him, you can. I need to help you to believe that it is there. He is there. God is there. Half the problem is believing. Because the problem that prevents the Holy Spirit manifesting is a big word called unbelief. And it's a tough problem to crack through. Right now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are there. Whether operating or not, whether it's manifesting or not in different ways and different levels, different degrees, doesn't matter. Once you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, it is there. Now, we may operate all the 9 gifts once in a while according to the needs that are around us. But you will operate some of the 9 gifts all the time. And if you learn that it's there, you learn how to flow in it. And you learn that certain gifts are more peculiar to you and part of God's grace for your life. You gain confidence in it. All these little words that we use, confidence, and all these come down to one root word. You believe that it's there. You believe that it's there. Now, after we believe it's there, we don't pretend to do things just because it's there. I mean, we still got to listen to Him. But the whole big part that I find difficult in helping people to train in the Holy Spirit is the belief that it is there. The radio waves are now here. TV waves are now here. The Holy Spirit is now here. The problem in getting a revelation from God is not getting it here. It's getting it here. It's the conversion medium. It's the conversion medium. To convert it from something that is intangible
incomprehensible to something tangible and easily comprehended with our mind. And here is a roadblock. I mean, there are a lot of things that block us, all kinds of things, unrenewed mind, our own desires, and all those other things comes in. And a lot of whole teaching goes into this, getting us surrendered, getting us this and that, and all this, just to get rid of the blockage, actually. Basically, just getting rid of the blockage. You could be continuously in the move of God, continuously be in the perfect will of God. The most important thing is learning how to remain surrendered 24 hours. That's all. Just remain surrendered 24 hours and you will always be in God's perfect will. And do your best to flow according to whatever God wants you to do 24 hours. And a whole chunk of ministry is basically to get rid of that junk there. Just to get rid of that junk, if that junk is gone, whew, it's lovely. It's a anything can happen situation. Holy Spirit can be free to move as He wants. So we look at the word no. It is not just a spiritual no. We acknowledge that it has to be a spiritual no first. Based on other scriptures, I mean, spiritual has to come before natural. But it's a conversion medium of knowing. It's a part of it. Yes, there's a question coming from the back. Yes.
I'm just surprised that it's conversion. Like, okay, let's take this class. Most of us probably have no problem believing that this is all there, that the ways are there. I've seen a lot of this class who want to move it over here, but still a lot don't. So, I thought that the main thing is the reason of the spirit man.
Correct. The strength of this inner man is one of the factors here. It's correct. The other is the blockage. Now there are two things that we're going to teach on. One is on this general area that is called the area of manifestation. How it manifests. And that we will do as we compare it with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay? And your question that you have asked will be that way on the manifestation. Now we need to do one step at a time. The strength of our inner man will affect the level of manifestation. Okay? There are two problems that we are dealing with. One is the strength of the inner man. The other is the blockage. Part of the removing of the blockage is to believe it is there. But your statement that we can easily believe that it's there need to be specified. Okay? Let's take Kenneth. He believes that the Holy Spirit is in him. I have no doubt about it. He believes the Holy Spirit is able to give him all the 9 gifts. No doubt about it. But do you believe that right now He can reveal to you, and He has revealed to you, in your spirit life, a revelation of where you will be in exactly 2000 AD January? See, he's struggling to have that. See the difference? It's not general belief. You must believe that it's there. And some of you are. What gives us the right to believe is there. I use the word see. In 1 John, it tells us you have the seed of God in your inside. The moment you're born again, everything that God has designed for your life has been put into your life as a seed. Now, I did not say that you have everything, because we know from Ephesians chapter 3 that Jesus still is growing in us and we do receive some more things from Him. I did not say that you have received everything. Listen carefully. I said that you have received a seed of everything. If you can believe it. In 1 John, it tells us you have the seed of God in your inside. The moment you're born again, Everything that God has designed for your life has been put into your life as a seed. Now, I did not say that you have everything, because we know from Ephesians chapter 3 that Jesus still is growing in us and we do receive some more things from Him. I did not say that you have received everything. Listen carefully. I said that you have received a seed of everything. If you can believe it. So it's the specifics we are dealing with. Now that was just an experimental kind of situation. But actually, right now in your spirit, we're just dealing with the word of wisdom, okay? We haven't got to other gifts yet. Oh my God, we got to go faster than that. And just a word of wisdom, knowing the things of the future. He will show you things to come, kind of thing, all these things. He did promise that. Part of the ability, there are some things that already, there's a seed in fact. Let me color the seed different color. I don't like black seed, so let's a green seed, which is a nice color. Okay, seed. In fact, everything you would ever be has been seeded on your inside the day you were born again. It still needs to receive nourishment and it will be different when it grows up. There's some things that need to be imparted from outside, just like a seed needs something from outside, correct? The sunlight, nourishment, water. But basically, if you provide sunlight, you provide nourishment, you provide water, without the seed, nothing happens to you. It is a something inside that seed, plus the things outside that make it happen. If you have only the seed, without the things outside, nothing happens. The seed remains dormant but still powerful. You can be kept in an Egyptian tomb for 2,000 years and planted seed can grow. Given the right conditions. But if you give the right conditions minus the seed, it's as if nothing has happened. So, there's a seed on the inside of everything in your life. There are things from the outside that God will reveal of different things. Talking just about the word of wisdom. In order to receive this is what we are talking about receiving, okay? Dr. John said, manifestation, the things from outside, through our spirit, okay? We all know about manifestation. We cannot make it manifest as we want. Understood. Point taken. Okay? All those three figures would say, if the spirit doesn't move, I move the spirit. We know the context that he's speaking about. You know, you cannot push the Holy Spirit, you cannot force him in the corner, you cannot take a knife, put the Holy Spirit through and say, reveal, right? Who do you think you are, anyway? Holy Spirit, I mean, you can do that to him. He is still our guide and our teacher. We are his subjects and servants. However, there are some things here that can be brought forth through desire. And part of the desire are some of the little rain that comes from the Holy Spirit. You will have no desire for anything that the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to desire, with the exception of carnal desires that comes from the flesh and the devil. I repeat again. You will have no desire in the spiritual things and in God unless it comes from the Holy Spirit, with the exception of some desires that are produced to carnality, to the flesh and to the devil. Outside of that, all desires come from the Holy Spirit. It is making a similar statement but parallel. Every thought that we think is caused by something. It doesn't come as an accident. Every thought that we think is produced either from within ourselves, a recall, or it is produced by the devil. He dropped something, he threw a fiery dart that passed by and just happened to pass through our brain. Or it is produced by the Holy Spirit Himself. There is no cause and effect that flows, no effect without a cause. Every thought has its consequences. Let's say, you know, as illustration, let's say if I put my hand on my brother and I just open my spirit up, let's say open up my spirit and understand that there's a flow, okay? Sometimes as a minister, and as I put my hands on him now, okay, for some reason, I start seeing jungles, forests, Now let me ask you this question. Is it because I am making those thoughts? The devil is giving me those thoughts? Possible, if I got open doors in my life? Or is it the Holy Spirit giving me those thoughts? Most probably the Spirit. Sometimes can be me. Right? If I keep looking at him as a jungle man, I put my hand, of course jungle things come out. Right? But I was not thinking of jungle, and I don't look at him as a jungle man. And there is no cognitive, logical reason why I should be seeing those forests. I can't explain it. I just can't explain it. And if I can accept that it's not the devil, let me rule that out. But let me tell you, there is a possibility sometimes if our life is open. Okay? So not everything is God, not every impression is God. No, I don't leave you in the impression that everything is God. And you'll be walking around. Everything is God. I mean, no. Some things are our own self and some things are the devil. But outside of that area, if, you know, I want to even give myself the margin of error. You know, I don't like to be God. I don't like to claim God or just simply use that phrase a lot. I'm very careful with that. And since I don't feel that weight of the anointing on my life, like I used to feel with the anointing upon very strong for prophecy. I mean, I don't feel that the Spirit on me to really prophesy. All I'm doing is just like you having a simple thought coming. I want to give that margin of error and say that if what I'm seeing and sensing coming to me is from the Holy Spirit or from my human spirit, then what God possibly is speaking is saying that He will be traveling to some of these places. Praise God. some mission trip somewhere coming up. See what I'm talking about? I must believe that the seed is there. Now let's talk about my own life. Everything has a cause. That every desire in your life, and some of us were wondering if you want to try to get the word of wisdom or revelation of the future, and try to cook it up, you find you can't, because if you got no desire for it, you will never think about it in the first place. This is a strange paradox. If you got no desire for it, you will never even take the time to try to think about those things. Therefore, the desire part is quite important. And if you look at desire, we ask ourselves, where did the desire come from? Just as we ask, where did the thought come from? Because the desire could be produced from our own self, sometimes our own ego. Or it could be produced because we have been people like that, and it produced a desire on our life, some sort of indirect impartation. Just like a child may come out and say, I'd like to be a doctor because his father and mother is a doctor. We know where that desire comes from. It's not from God, it's from the influence around it. Now it may be God, I mean, we're not ruling that out. But there are other possible causes. Our desires can come from ourselves, can come from the devil, it can come from God. Where it comes from God, the Holy Spirit, we have a right to allow it to stir the sea in order to find things out, what's coming up. And sometimes when it stirs that sea, it can produce dreams. And you remember Nebuchadnezzar, when he has a dream about, his dream covered a revelation right after Jesus comes, in a general allegory. Remember the golden head and silver and bronze and clay toes mixed with iron, and the stone that come and knock, and the stone represents Jesus. He saw the end of the world in an allegorical form. If you read carefully in the Bible, what it says about him, it says that in his mind he was pondering, although he was not a believer, in his mind he was pondering what was going to happen after his empire. It's in the Bible. Let's look at the Bible. The book of Daniel. Since we're touching on the word of wisdom and revelation of things future. Revelation chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Where did I go to Revelation? Daniel chapter 2. Right. Daniel chapter 2. Verse 1, now in the second year Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he was only in his second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. And his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. In other words, he woke up after the dream, just like many people do. Must be a tremendous dream. But the strange thing is that he forgot the dream. He remembered, but he didn't remember. And he wants to know the dream and its meaning. And so the wise man in verse 4 told him, "Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation." But the king said, "My decision is firm. You must tell me both the dream and the interpretation, or I'll kill you." One kind of a king. Some people think he's testing them, possible. But others believe that he probably may have forgotten the large part of his dream. He just remembered something so general that he couldn't recall the details. To me, that is probably the greater possibility. And when nobody could, in the end, Daniel prayed and he must have got a dream. And then he told the king. He says in the same chapter, Daniel chapter 2, verse 29. Found it? Daniel 2:29. "As for you," now here's how he got that dream. And here's what caused the dream to arise. In verse 29. This is all before the dream came. "As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what will come to pass after this." What will come after this from verse 28 is after the last day, after the end time. What will the world be like? "And he will reveal secrets as make known to you what will be." Now you can look at it both ways, through predestination or through Arminianism. And you will say, well, before he slept, God gave him all those thoughts because God was preparing him for the dream. Or you look at it the other way. Somehow he has those desires about the end time. And he slept with those thoughts, his last thoughts before he slept. And when God saw it, his desire, God gave him a dream to reveal the future. The answer of both is at work. God just gives a small drip, the desire. And if you respond to the desire correctly, the rest will come. Just like Jesus' parable. You respond to his parable, he'll reveal the meaning of his parable. And so in that way we see that kind of thing taking place. He was of course an unbeliever. But let me just go a small sidetrack. There is a possibility that Nebuchadnezzar may have been saved. Just in case you meet him in heaven, right? And don't get too surprised. And some of you go, "Nebu, how can you be, you cruel fellow?" He may have been. He may have been. Because in the Bible, finally, he acknowledged God. So we don't know whether that converted him. I'm not saying he is. I'm just preparing in case you meet him there. If you don't meet him there, fine, then he was not saved. Mr. Nebu. And because many people cannot think about him as a saved person, so they expand your mind a bit. Here is where the word of wisdom comes. What is your desire right now? What desires do you have? What are the Holy Spirit producing in your area? What desires are we yielding? Of course, everyone in the ministry desires something. Some things that we need to do. What about desires of knowledge of something in the future? Are we yielding to them? The fact is, if you yield to them, and those desires are drawing you to know certain things, then they start operating. You believe that everything that you need to know is on your inside. Everything that you need to know about your future is on your inside. On January 2000 AD, there is a seed of where Kenneth will be on his inside. Whether that seed will be open a little bit for you to glimpse, but as you all know, if you look at durian seed, you cannot see the thorns. You wouldn't know the thorns are there. You wouldn't even know what color the fruit is unless you've seen a durian. If you just saw the seed, it's brownish color. How do you know that the skin will be brown? And the meat yellow, and the tree tall. How will you know from the seed? So there are a lot of things that when you see, be prepared, it's going to be allegorical because it's just RNA, DNA style. You cannot see anything else. But if you allow it to be stirred up with little additions from this side by the Holy Spirit, it may be that a word of wisdom will come to your mind. Again, that's what I mean. The problem is not here. As it rises to this part level, and I'm not talking about word of wisdom as it operates under the anointing upon. I'm just talking about it in general. Under my book, the teaching, the word of wisdom is related to wisdom, spiritual wisdom, and both have a certain link. Okay? Just like tongues and the gift of tongues are related. And when you speak in tongues, and the message in tongues, when the Lord, your God, tells you, listen, whatever it is, whether it's a message in tongues or you pray in tongues, in quality and essence is the same. It's just a different application. So in the same way, the word of wisdom and the flow of the wisdom of God to guide us in future things or whatever, there is a certain flow. We need to believe that it is possible, it is there. As long as Kenneth believes that he can know where he will be in January 2080, although he may not be interested in where he will be in January 2080, but flow with what you desire. That's only a hypothetical case. But let's say if you truly desire and it burns on his inside where he will be, what he will be doing, he desires that in his life, and it burns on his inside, and as he used to that, and he believes, but desiring is one thing, believing that he can know, should God help him with this part here, remove, and then he can know. He can know now in a glimpse like seeing a part of the seed, but he can know more with God's help from here in detail. If he can believe it, he may not receive it right now, but somewhere along the line, the next few days, the next few months, or the next year or two, God will reveal it to him. It has been my experience that everything you desire to know, you give God enough time, he'll tell you. Hallelujah. And everything that you believe that God has given you the right to know, it will eventually come. Some things I acknowledge God will hide from us because we are not ready for them. But your desires and your belief that you can know them will bring it to you the moment God knows it's time. But our lack of belief that it is our right to know will prevent it from being revealed to us even when it's time for us to know it. Praise the Lord. We only touched one point, by the way. Praise the Lord. And so we are talking about just a general knowing. I want to relate that to this, talking about the blockages here. Teach all things and bring in remembrance all things. Note the word all. And here also got the word all things. Did he say some things, all things? It's all things. Take what you want to believe. I believe that all includes spiritual, soulish, and natural. And because of that, I have a great desire to know all things. I like to know everything I can know about the Bible, everything I can know about spiritual realm, everything in the natural realm, everything that is a puzzle and a question in science realm, everything. As much as it comes in my desire, I want to know. I have a quest for knowledge. So I believe that God will reveal. I believe that it's there. One of the things that my mind is still struggling to understand fully and calculate fully all those things here. You see, I wrote a science book on the quark theory. In science, they still up to this day have not been able to link the law of gravitation, the force of gravitation with electromagnetism and with the other forces that are there, the nuclear force. you know, force attraction and radiation. Somehow one day when I was praying the spirit, because of my desire being science inclined to know, I said, I believe these all are connected. And I saw somewhere in my spirit a connection all through the form of life. But because my training is lacking, although I do know some math, but it's not deep enough and not powerful enough to do all the calculations so that I could prove it mathematically and show that they are linked. And that process of going from here to there may take years. Not because God didn't show. God has shown in my spirit, I could see it there, I could understand in my spirit. But somehow my mind cannot fully mathematically calculate it, finish, and put it one to one. I just put it as a theory, but not as a mathematical proof yet. So you understand what I mean? All things can be known, but it's from here to here that takes time. I personally choose to believe that all things include all natural and spiritual things. He will teach you about business, which he has taught me. He can teach you about music, which he has taught. He will teach you about everything that you desire. That's why Christian life is fun. He never just teaches to be spirit beings, good for nothing else. Teach you about everything that you desire to know. All things, the Holy Spirit. And here, the word teach is didaskos. Didaskos, common word for teach. And there's another word teach that actually is on another word that means more training. But it's not that one. It's only didaskos. And he will teach all things to our life. Now, have you realized that this one follows this one? And they are related. Based on my diagram, you can see the relationship. This one no, but this one still dot 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 dot, trying to know. Therefore, the process is, the teaching process takes care of this part here. You notice that? You got inside, and you know it's real, but this part still needs teaching. Teaching affects the mind. Now I know it affects the spirit too. But more so it affects the mind. It brings clarity to the mind. Precept upon precept, line upon line. Sometimes you're struggling with different things in your life. Different principles, different experiences. Suddenly the right teaching comes. What does it do? You see and understand where everything is placed. You never struggle anymore. Just like God gave me the revelation of how to unite predestination and Arminianism, which has not been united for centuries of church argument. I have a few takes on predestination and understanding predestination, and I have managed to unite the two fields. We've done it on the tape, I show how it can be done. And the process was looking at different levels of predestination. That was the key. There's a key to unite a theological argument that divided the church even from John Wesley's time. The reason is, I believe in the last days we understand that the moment I saw it, I said, hey, Arminianism and predestination are not conflicting each other. They are all part of a puzzle in different places. That's how I present it on my page. They are actually part of the same puzzle working at different levels. And it took some time to understand that. So we believe that it's the teaching. The moment I saw it, it did something to me. I understand God in a way I never understood it before. It brought my relationship with God deeper. Teaching does something. It's just like when you understand what tongues really is. Remember some people, when they knew, they know no teaching or baptism in the Spirit, and they got tongues every time But when you understand what tongues is, I mean, it's beautiful. You know that tongues is you praying, Holy Spirit giving the thing. You are the one moving your tongue. You are the one moving your lips. Simple thing. That if we are taught properly, we realize that we can control the tongues, but we cannot control the language. You could speak in tongues loudly. You could speak softly. You could speak in a high key. You could speak in a low key. Because we understand what speaking in tongues actually is. then we don't understand. The moment we understand, it frees us. Our mind gets educated. And that's why teaching comes. So, between here, the seed, here the mind, which needs to know, not seed, ginosko, the process is teaching. He will teach you all things. All things. Do you realize that knowing or to know is actually an instantaneous experience? Either you know it or you don't. There's no half-half. Now, I know some people know partially, but partially means that they know only that. What it means, either you know or you don't know, different section. When you talk generally, you say, well, he knows partially how to repair the car. I'm talking about specifics. He knows how to repair the car until that much. Beyond that, he can't handle it. Either you know or you don't know. There's no half. But teaching, which helps us to know, is a gradual process. It's an application of little incremental bits of knowledge until we know something thoroughly. Praise God. Hope I haven't confused your knowing. Just the word know. Take mathematics for example. Either you know calculus or you don't. Oh yeah, I know calculus partially. It is more you know just maybe the integral, not the differential. There's so many types of calculus. There are, either you know up to that level or you don't. And whatever you know, you can only go to that level and no further. It takes teaching as we know incrementally, as things are explained to us. And teaching explains, preaching proclaims. So as we explain to us, we see it clearer and clearer. And when after teaching comes into our life, knowledge is established. The teaching part is also helping this part. Now, what role does remembrance play? He shall bring you into remembrance. This is a very powerful part about how revelation flows in your life. I've illustrated it in many ways before, but less sudden do people see it working through the revelation gifts. But the same effect. And I could divert with this little illustration. Which I used before in church, but it applies here this time. How would you describe the taste of guava to a foreigner? Let's say a foreigner has never seen guava, never tasted guava. How do you educate him and teach him about guava? And you're not allowed to use pictures. It's not an easy task. The only way you can do it, let's say, you are teaching him. You find whatever he knows here first, correct? All the little things he knows. And let's say, you know, this is the guava, let's say, this is the knowledge of guava. You find whatever little things he knows. First you tell him, do you know what green color looks like? If his answer is no, I never seen any colors in my life, finish. You got to go further back. But you need his knowledge to teach. I'm teaching right now in English. If you don't know English, you'll be wondering what I'm speaking all the time from 9:30. And let's say, you know, this is the guava. I say, this is the knowledge of guava. You find whatever little things you know. First you tell him, do you know what green color looks like? If his answer is no, I never seen any colors in my life, finish. You got to go further back. But you need his knowledge to teach. I'm teaching right now in English. If you don't know English, you'll be wondering what I'm speaking all the time from 9:30. You see, there is a basic. And the words that we are saying are understandable. And where I use new words, I explain. And some words that you already know, I use in different ways. So we communicate. I use words that you know to explain words that I'm trying to convey, put it in the canal to produce something new. That's teaching. But if you don't have anything that I can use and I got nothing that you can use, we can only look at each other. No communication. Green, and he nods his head. Yeah. Have you tasted apple? He says, no, I never eaten an apple in my whole life. Oh no. I mean, let's say he say yes. Okay. Have you tasted a pear? Have you tasted a pear before? Yeah. Do you know what white color looks like? White. You know what color looks like? White, yes. Okay. Guava is greenish on the outside. It tastes something between an apple and a pear. And the inside, it has this white little thing, whitish meat. And it's crunchy like a pear. Sometimes it got seeds on inside, but sometimes now the new ones is seedless. And you say, Now you still haven't tasted it yet. But you manage to use his knowledge to produce something new. Where out of the old comes something new. And that is our learning process all through life. From things that, from A, B, C, 26 letters of the alphabet we could produce and link them together and join them to form so many words that mean so many things. And then our words could be joined together to produce so many different expressions. Like, joy. Joy! I mean, how do you convey that? It's very hard to convey in writing unless you write it bigger. Or he screamed joy. He whispered joy. So here's an interesting phenomenon. Whatever we learn will always be based on what we already have. It's built on the previous platform. Therefore, when God wants to, how does the revelation take place? God will search in our hearts what we have and what we know. And seek to formulate them in ways that we have never had before. Just like invention. Whatever is needed to build this air conditioner was in existence even 2,000 years ago. And of course, way before that. All the materials were there, correct? It has not been brought into the right shape. It has not been purified into all its various mediums. All the materials were there. All the materials to build computers were there. All the materials to build car was there. Electricity was present. It's always been there. It has not been harnessed. Not been put together in that way. We take the old thing, put it together in different ways, and make something new. Life is that process. The way remembrance takes place in Revelation is God will take something that you already know, put it together to produce something new. And this is a new thing. And how it operates, you see, therefore comes to what Dr. John brought up there. There is a limit. If a person is illiterate, there is a limit to how you can communicate the truth of God. Try to convey predestination to someone who is illiterate. The concept of predestination. How do you convey it? When I say predestination, all of us know what it means. But trying to convey the concept of predestination to someone who is illiterate. Think about how you could do it. It's absolutely difficult. So the only way to convey is to try to find something that the person has that can be similar. To try to find something. Some illustration. Which is why Jesus used parables a lot to convey spiritual truth. So that is the key to the spirit bringing to remembrance. And now, as we take this one, and look it into the different levels of manifestation. And I could go to those other two the next tomorrow. But look at this. In this series, we are concentrating on the how part. So we got this part, the knowing, the teaching, the remembrance, in John chapter 14, 16, 17, and 26. And talk about the how you operate. So can I take this part off just for a while? Okay. And look at the different levels of the how you operate. So there we have it. I draw in green. First, there's the seed. Okay. They try to communicate to the mind, ... the knowing. Then I draw this arrow to show the process in between, at least teaching. And there is what I call a storehouse of knowledge, okay? Or of your experiences, of pictures, and all the things that you know. So in order to the teaching to convey this new concept, it takes from your old, formulates it into something new to give you an understanding of what's going on here. I'm trying to make it as visual as possible. As we look at the different levels, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. And we see its different usages in verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. There are two points that I want to focus on here first. One is the word manifestation. Manifestation. And manifestation. The other is the word given. Okay. These are words that are used in 1 Corinthians 12. And now we are focusing just on the word of wisdom, one of the revelation gifts, and of course it applies to the word knowledge and discerning of spirit. Now how does it apply to discerning of spirit, which is the ability to see the spirit world? Okay? There are many ways you can operate the how part. And different people's gifts may operate slightly differently. George Fox, among those with the ability, as well as Rufus Moselli, one of the early charismatics, had a certain ability to see people like animals. Not because they are animals. Anybody heard of Rufus Moselli? No. He wrote the book Manifest Glory, or Manifest Something. I still got the book. I hope I still got it in the library somewhere. And sometimes when you see people, so it depends on what you open to. And let's say see people. I seem to be going to see all the time. See people and see. As I look at Kenneth, now I open myself to that kind of phenomena, okay? The ability to see animals. Okay? I'm just taking that as what I call the raw material. Raw material. And then I look at Kenneth, I see a donkey. I literally see a donkey with long ears coming up. Okay. And as I see him, I remember the words of the Bible where Jesus was riding on the donkey. And so when I put the Bible and what I see together, I get a very interesting mini prophecy. Not a prophecy with a big thing, but something I can get something for his life. Like I could sense that the donkey part talks about his character. There is a certain thing in him, you may not know, you may know. Inside him, he's quite a very stubborn person. He can be stubborn for bad, stubborn for good. But when he makes up his mind, it may take heaven and earth to move him. It can be a good quality. There's a kind of thing there. Another quality about that that's coming out is his willingness to be a servant, to be a donkey. Doesn't mind what people say to him about him. He's that kind of thing coming in. Okay, and I will say that Jesus riding on the donkey, as how it applies to him, would be how the Lord is going to use him and use those qualities and the characteristics in your life to carry Jesus and to lift Jesus even higher in your life. Praise God. So I'm talking about using raw material, okay? And like now I'm looking at Dr. John's wife, and I see a dove. I'm talking about the animal zoo now, no? Animal zoo anointing. Okay? So I see this dove. And I need to try to understand this dove more. Try to move and zoom in and see this dove. And I see this dove as a certain ability. Now there are many things about dove, and you can see different people dove, doesn't mean all of them are like dove. It can be for specific things. Okay? I mean, the next round I may look at Kenner and may not see a donkey, I may see a lion, right? I mean, they're different. So, animal zoo anointing. But this particular dove that I'm seeing is strange, because as I look at a dove, God reminds me of something in my earlier life when I was a little boy, not a Christian yet, and I used to stay with my auntie in a remote part of Singapore before Singapore was developed, and she kept many pigeons. And the thing that I admire about a pigeon is that no matter which way you turn him, the head is always the same way. And you ever try that to a little pigeon? It's always the same way. It's one of the characteristics of the pigeon. You turn the pigeon upside down, put his legs up, and his head will still purposely go this way. And so that thing seemed to be very striking as I see that the pigeon on her. And it seemed to say that in whatever situation that you have been in any different type of experience, yet there's a level-headedness that God has given to her. A certain quality that is there. And things can explode, atomic bomb, left, right, persecution, left, right, center. It looks like everything falls apart, but there is a quality in her life that she has been very level-headed. A steadiness that is there. And because I'm reminded about that pigeon that come back, that come upon Jesus, the dove. And a lot of things say that steadiness in your life will lead you into a different realm of the Spirit. The way the Lord moves in a different realm when the Holy Spirit, like a dove, came upon him. So this animal kingdom, and animal zoo, I call it. And it can be different ways. Maybe some of you got different anointing. You call it kitchen anointing. These are all my little expressions. You must pardon me. Don't go out and say that all this kind of anointing. People won't understand. It's only for Bible school students. And you may not be looking at animals, but try it. You believe it's real. And let's say you're looking at pots and pans and knives and butter knives and all those things. Okay? And so you use a different raw material. And as you look around, you know, and you come, Mrs. Nora Marsh, and I see, okay, instead of trying to look for animals, now I look at kitchen equipment. And I could see, you know, a piece of butter in a butter container with a butter knife. So the Lord is trying to say this about her life. not that a lot of, she's not going to make breakfast for you all. So the Lord is going to, it seems that there's something, these things that I'm seeing don't seem to be prophetic in a way, but more of a character thing. And it's like she's a person who is very homely and who seems very ordinary, as common as butter and a butter knife. But yet, in her little way, there is a quality in her life that she has helped people and fed people in many spiritual ways. Although what she did looks so common, but it's really essential in the way that she's feeding and helping some people. And it looks like the knife part that is used for the spreading the bread. And it seems that whatever she's going to do for the Lord and whatever her character is that she, when she looks at the Word of God, she doesn't look at the Word of God the way we look. She has her own special way. She sees the practical application part. And so if she's sharing devotional time, she will share on the practical side. And it's her way of looking. It's something to do with her character, her down-to-earth and homeliness. And So this is the kitchen way, right? Sometimes when you start moving in the area, you keep seeing all kinds of things. When you open yourself to, when I see John, I see a big para. So I see the para, to my remembrance, remember the word remembrance again. To my remembrance comes the time when my father was wearing his big baggy shorts, and he took me to an auntie's place in Kallang Pata, and he has his para strapped to his side. And he finds a low coconut and cuts a low coconut and chops the coconut and lets us eat a young coconut. That's what comes to me when I see the para, and I immediately, for no reason, remember the incident. And a lot seems to be talking about his life, about how that although his personality is that kind of personality where he's a very strict person, no nonsense kind of thing, no playing around. God is God, the devil is the devil. You live for God, you live for the devil, kind of character. And yet, that same sharpness is going to bring him into it, to be able to cut some things from the spirit world to feed people that other people cannot. Only the parang can handle the coconut. Try the butter knife, it wouldn't. Try the other tadi, it wouldn't. Each have their gift to bring out different aspects. And so that's what I call the kitchen aspect of things. It can be different things. Now the thing that we have to look at is, when is it the anointing upon helping us to do those things? When is it our own self generated? When is it our own self generated? And for this one, we need to look at the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Chapter 27, verse 10. Now here is Paul operating, not necessarily, it may not be a word of wisdom, it is not thus says the Holy Spirit, but it's a word from his human spirit, his perception. So it's something in the future, revelation of the future in verse 10. Man, he says, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and sheep, but also our lives. Now, before that, in verse 9, it says, because the fast was already over, Paul advised them. Two little words that I like to bring forth. One is the word advise. Advise. And the other is the word perceive. And IEV. Okay. So this is the human spirit, small h, small s. This is the Holy Spirit, capital H, capital S. This is wisdom as it operates from God, and revelation of things of the future, perception from your spirit. This is a word of wisdom with an anointing upon, with a manifestation. And notice the different verbs that are applicable. Here is given. Now, when something is given means that you cannot generate it, correct? If something is given, you got to wait till it's given before you can function in it. Like Paul Ang used to say, it is receive and not grab, not take. You can't take it. That means that it's initiated by the Holy Spirit. It's sort of given to you. But you have to be in a position for it to be given to you. Your hands have to be open to receive, your spirit has to be open. Whereas this one is different, generated differently. Do you know that the word perceive implies that you are reaching into something? You are studying, looking in something? You perceive, you see something? Perception? This one implies an effort from outside. Perceive. To see into something, as long as you're who is that? Perceive. And then, these two describe what I call the subjective experience of what it's like. This one is like more like waiting and it comes on you. This one is like, you do reach out into it and you do sense something. These two talk about a different level. Manifestation shows a certain tangibility of his presence.
there must be a different level, a degree of His presence. And you know, it's the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit, not just the voice of your human spirit. And as you look at those things, don't forget those things that we look at here. And I better write the words here. The word know, the word teach, the word remembrance here. All these things need to be operating. The word know, teach, remembrance. Now, this is what I call the how, the process that is taking place. Because here is the word, the seed that is there, or the total sum of what we need in this life. There are different degrees of those things operating, either at this level, human spirit level, or at the Holy Spirit level. At this level, it is more from inside as it flows out from you. It's a perception. Now, how do you initiate between this area here? Do you notice that teaching in John 14, it emphasizes the Holy Spirit, correct? He has to teach it. Of course, somebody who knows the Holy Spirit can teach it. It becomes an instrument of the Holy Spirit. Knowing is, as I say, just instantaneous. Bang, the light bulb strikes you. No? You know. Now, of all these parts, this is the part that you can always are more easily what I call accessible. When I ask you to remember something, it's easy for you to remember. Because this is the easier part. Because this part, if you're moving on, we need to take time, Holy Spirit, and it's a process. Knowing, of course, is the end result of this teaching. And God show. But this is the part that is easily accessible. Easily accessible. And if you want the Holy Spirit to use you in a revelation area to reveal something to you, sometimes you don't ask, He just pulls something out from you. By other times, if you give Him a raw material, kitchen utensil, animal zoo, He will take those things and communicate to you. Because the language of the Holy Spirit is in all those visual forms. And we all remember things holographically, not just digitally. Our mind remembers things through pictures, total sum of it. Give Him some raw material. And this is what I call, remember in physical training, you can train yourself. Let's say like if you want to have a strong arm, right? You do weightlifting and your arm grows stronger. As your arm grows stronger, then you can say, come on now. Right? Now, you can train this way all the time. I mean, arm wrestling with people. But when you're training this way, you're not actually arm wrestling. You're doing a secondary exercise to produce the result. And sometimes the badminton players all day, sometimes they do weightlifting so that their smash can be powerful. When they are doing all this weightlifting, they are developing muscles that they can use later, but while they are developing, they are not actually smashing. You could smash 10,000 times a day, I mean, it will sure grow muscles. But they use muscles that, in a different way, that they can use later. And what we can do at this level, there are spiritual exercises in learning to prophesy, in learning to have revelation from God. And as you get geared into those areas, it becomes easier for this area to operate. So at this area, sometimes it takes practice in different things. And some people use animal zoo, as I say, animal zoo. And there are different animals. And what homework do you need to do? That is, you study all the Bible animals, their rough characteristics, what they mean, etc. But please remember, don't overinterpret. So sometimes you look, ah, oh, you see somebody like a snake. And it's not because they are possessed. It can be something else. I remember long ago, there was a man who came to see me in my house. And when he sat there, I was not trying anything. I was just listening. Suddenly, as he speaks halfway, I saw his face disappear, replaced by a snake. Now, the Lord was not trying to tell me he was possessed by the devil or he was the devil. But the Lord was trying to tell me
something. What happens if I don't catch it, Abe? The Lord was trying to tell me that this guy twists and turns, and you must be careful in how you deal with him. That was a way that God was telling me. Now, I have never, ever in my life, I met that fellow several times again, ever told him that. It was just for me. And it was one of the ways that God communicated with me. Animals do stuff. So remember, it's very dangerous. The interpretation part is very dangerous when you move into this kind of thing. Because people misapply, misinterpret. And if you don't like somebody, you tend to see the wrong things also. Our feelings come in, all these things, and we have to learn to keep our spirit right with God. But there are ways you could exercise in which any one of you right now, right? You could just choose anyone in the class. Okay, just look around, choose anyone in the class. Right? Anyone in the class. And just open yourself to animal zoo or to kitchen utensils. Or other things you have. There are other ramps also. There is called a fruit ramp. See them as a durian tree, an apple, a pear, but don't eat them up. Right? Okay. And something you open to it and you just see it. Right. Pastor Joshua, what do you see? Who do you see? Who? Him. Umar. You see a horse? Horse. Ah, okay. What do you see, Sister Narama? Yeah.
Flying lizard.
Oh, this is interesting. There is a cause and effect, remember. Kenneth, what do you see? Who?
I see a fish.
Fish. Huh? Yeah. The other one, you saw it as a fish. Fish. What type of fish? Shark, goldfish?
No, one is
red
grizzle, one is fighting
fish,
two type of fish.
Oh, two type of fish. Okay. Okay. What do you see? Did you say, who do you look at? Nobody. Okay, you were not looking anywhere, okay. And what do you have? Yeah, nothing, nothing, okay. What do you have?
A saw and a
scissor. Okay, a saw and a scissor. Who? Now, isn't that interesting? And let me tell you a dream I had long ago, and let me try to get the details of the dream. Okay, the dream was about my little daughter when she was small, and of course our children, they grow up, it needs to be hugged and to be loved and all that, and so one day I just saw her, not just a flash. I saw her walking upstairs with a little teddy bear, going up. Then night I had a dream. In the dream, I almost saw her in the same position going up. But as she was going up, instead of carrying the teddy bear, she was carrying like a piece of metal, that cold piece of metal. Strange thing, I woke up. You know what the Lord told me? What my natural man saw was a teddy bear and my little baby girl. But what my spiritual man saw was that teddy bear was not meeting the heart and the love that she needs and she was looking for. It was still cold. Can you see the difference? How our natural man see and how our spirit man see is totally different. Can you see the difference? How our natural man see and how our spirit man see is totally different. And all the time, each one of you, believe it, can see in the spirit and in the natural. It's which way we lean. Right hand, left hand kind of thing. All the time. And our natural can try to deceive our spirit through wrong interpretation, understanding. But our spirit will always just see straight through everything. It's impossible to deceive our spirit man. If we ever deceive because of spirit, we will not listen to our spirit man. Our spirit man is powerful. And that is the ramp. Now that ramp, I include all those things only in here. Never here. However, your training here will equip you here. Okay, understand? This ramp sometimes needs training. we need to be open to it. Then you don't just have to be open to animal zoo, fruit world, or kitchen utensil. Then you just open to anything. Then it can be anything. You just sort of have an openness in your spirit. And now try to look at one another without limiting yourself to fruit realm or animal zoo or to kitchen utensil or any other thing. But as you look at each other, look at each other with the eyes of your spirit. And what do you see? You can see people in the spirit. Now we may go wrong here and there, but at least you're trying to. And as you exercise that muscle of yours, it is an actual spiritual muscle that has not been used, because we were never trained in that realm. And those muscles can be exercised. There are spiritual muscles like weightlifting. And of course people will see how dumb to carry dumbbells. I mean, but those muscles become useful when you're running, when you're swimming. And it's dumb trying to see the spirit kind of thing. Your spirit man never looks at people the same way your natural man looks. Woodpecker, who do you see as Woody Woodpecker? Who? Jemima Woodpecker. not the one in the cartoon lah. That goes ta da da ta 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 da da ta ta da 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 da. Okay. I have no idea. But there must be something. There could be something. Right? In his whatever. Because I'm not that knowledgeable on the woodpecker side. Can be checked up. Woodpecker. You know? The only knowledge that we have as woodpecker is the strong beak. Strong beak. It can attack things and knock holes in things that other birds cannot. It may denote certain strength in the person to be able to speak powerful words. What? Jemima.
When we do that, yes. We're always debating something. Oh, you are ice cream. You are strawberry.
It is part of what I call is carrying the dumbbells. Right. And some of it is produced by ourselves. Remember this again. Some of it is produced by ourselves. But I would take it that very little of the time could it ever be produced by the devil. Unless there's really something wrong in your life or otherwise. That would be a rare. More of the time, it's produced by ourselves. But as you exercise that muscle, which seems redundant and which seems dumb, it is actually training us to open to that realm. Don't use that realm for prophecy.
Then the dog says the Lord, you are an ice cream, class 2, 50 cents.
Okay, don't ever do that, okay? Training school, we tell you how to develop your muscles. They are like, because we need training to think visually. We need openness to you to that spirit man of ours. And after some time you get used to it, sometimes strangers out, I never met them before. When I see, without effort, boom, I see something there, I don't tell them. But it prepares me for them. Something my spirit pick up. Do you know that in some of these psychology books and they have pictures of the same lady on two pictures. And then they ask you, which one do you like? They're the same lady, if you look and you like. And everyone will always say, okay, like the second one looks better. Why? We don't know. But you examine closer, right in the eye, in one of the pictures, the lady's iris opened bigger than the other one. That our conscious mind is not observing, but the subconscious is seeing. And people find one another attracted to one another because their subconscious sense that their iris is open. Of course, you don't go around with telescope, see whether you like me or not. But come on, let's be realistic. How many of us really are looking at the other person's iris to see how big it is? But your subconscious is so fast it catches, you know. And even by body language, the subconscious straight away know whether generally the person like you or not. It's so fast, faster than our mind can think. And there is a deeper realm than the subconscious mind, the spirit mind. It's very fast. But that realm needs exercising. The realm of revelation. I am concentrating on the remembrance part. Just allow the fullness of your experience to be used as a storehouse and library for this and this. It's a good start to train yourself in. And once you're quite trained to sing in that realm all the time, and you're quite exercised, it becomes second nature to you. And you don't purposely do it, and you don't purposely try to sing. You just open yourself and you do see, and you do sense things or see things. And you're just dealing in the realm of sensing. Later on, when you move into this realm, what do you concentrate on? This is different. In this realm, because it's given, not perceived, in this realm, the only concentration you have is on Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. You're not even thinking of that person. And you're just thinking about Jesus, all that he has and what he wants. And whenever I minister in that realm, I'm only thinking about Jesus. I'm not trying to think anything else. I'm only yielding to Jesus and worshipping him with my spirit and wanting to be a perfect open channel so that he can flow through. In the process of that, at times the anointing grows strong and then it begins to operate. Different things. Sometimes some of the same things jump over here. Animal, zoo or food world or other things. But it doesn't necessarily. It can be anything into that realm. But here is where we're showing the how. You train your muscles. Here's lifting your dumbbell. You make mistakes, it's okay. Sincere, genuine mistakes. If you don't believe me, test it out. If you become fast in that, you become more spiritual. You're faster at teaching. When many of us were new in the things of the spirit, you obey very fast. You realize that? You never even think. You just prophesy. Oh, the Lord says, the Lord is good. Yeah, he's a good God. Oh, he loves you. Yes, you're going to Africa, Timbuktu, Victoria. You don't even care. You don't even think. After some time, a lot of education, Victoria cannot laugh. How can he go? No, that one not from God. Timbuktu. No, cannot be. See what happened? This thing has taken over. This blockage has started taking over. I have talked to many people who have moved in the spirit before. They have lost the way how to move. Thank God the Lord showed me early so that I all my life I would not want to lose it because I understand how it's operating. Although I'm a fairly intellectual person, but yet I want to preserve those things. Simplicity of a child. Just yielding to the spirit. You don't care, you just give. It's an anointing of God. Of course, you may make mistakes, but you get more and more accurate. I mean, I was talking last time in one of our fellowships about this when the Holy Spirit came among the Baptists. I was with this Baptist group with Dr. Lim's in-house. We have this Baptist prayer meeting. There's one of the boy of one manager. This boy, you know, he just say, oh, this person has sinned. And he could say, he comes to his father, Father, you're keeping this charm. The father got shocked. Where? In this place, in this box, in this cupboard. He goes there exactly. But sadly, when the boy grew, he lost all these things. Wouldn't it be powerful if he continued in there and developed? Don't you think so? All of us were like that when you were first in the spirit. Think about that. We lose that. I mean, some of the first preacher, one person who sadly now backslided because of a broken marriage and is getting involved with something else. And a very elderly person, and he told me this when he was new in the things of spirit. I mean, he sees miracles. He just, you know, as he's going up, and the Holy Spirit tells him, go and see this person. And he quickly goes. He visits, he prays for them, and he sees healing. Miracle. He pray on it, and see the result. But as he was sharing with me, I realized something. There was no more happening. He was recounting the good old times. What happened? It is very easy to use to the spirit. It is not difficult. But train your muscles first. I mean, if you didn't train your muscles and you want to swim from one island to the other, and you skinny bone, after 100 meters, drowning, of course you can't. You got to train your muscles so that you don't feel that tired. You got enough energy, propulsion, power. And this one, do all the training you can. And call that training. And on this one, here, the key word I will say, simplicity. If you try to be too complicated, the Holy Spirit stops moving. Utter simplicity. But this one can be complicated. I mean, you're learning, you're training, etc. And you need both. If you only move in this realm and you don't move in this realm with your human spirit, you are a real oddball. Funny, I mean, outside the anointing, I mean, you're terrible. We don't want that. And some people who move in this level, I know some people who move very strong in this level, they have no discernment in this area. They make the most foolish mistakes in their business dealings, in their natural life, in buying a house or a car or an apartment or in spending their money. They make the most ridiculous mistakes. They have no training at all in this area. And because they fail in this area, later this area, their life evaporates. So we need to train here and move into here is training. You're just training and in the Word of God and all this. The more word you have, the smaller this portion is. Less and less distraction. If you've got a lot of fear in your life, you see dragons all over the place. You look at people, dragon. And you say, oh, everybody's like a dragon. No, it's not everybody. Your eyes got dragon pictures on that. You who's having a dragon. And so this has to be erased. And the Word of God comes here and it's a continual incremental increases. When you exercise, it gets tiring. It gets tiring. Incremental increases of the muscle. But when you go for here, let go. Utter simplicity. Just as simple as a child. As you receive it, give it. Make some mistakes, fine. But where you have a fantastic move or prophecy that is very dangerous. What do you mean dangerous? Like you're telling a person that you must now sell all your business and go. I mean, this kind of thing, please make very sure that it's a lot. And don't go and bankrupt the person. But outside of these areas that you got to be more extra careful and then move just after simplicity. And just move. And when you got a tremendous thing like that and you're not sure, give it with an element for marginal error. You know, if you really feel so burdened and you want to move in that field, then quietly, you don't have to always give a prophecy publicly. You could go privately and say, you know, brother, I sense this. I may be wrong, but please correct me if I'm wrong. And if this is true, I just want to let you know. And if it's not true, just forget it. But if it's true, no, let's pray for about that. Then it will be a more humble way of presenting it if you're still in the learning process. So utter simplicity, here is full training. And it prepares you, right? Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. We ask that you continue to establish us in your kindness and in your grace. Lord, as we learn to walk in your spirit, we know, Lord, the realm of the spirit is different from the realm of the natural. Father, help us, Lord, to understand that world of the Spirit. Lord, it's a totally different environment. And help us, O God, to continue strong and steadfast in you as you yield to your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for each student here. I pray for each one of them that you strengthen them, Lord, and prepare them more for your ministry. You bless them, O God, and cause them, Lord, to understand more and more the flow of your Spirit. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. God bless.